I'd like to just let you know that part of what I'm talking about in kind of the order of the competency models is really a story of how Des Moines University's curriculum committee and program has evolved over the last 3 to 4 years in terms of the models that we're using. And some of them are relatively basic, but they're very good conversation starters with your entire faculty, especially adjunct faculty who may be less familiar with curriculum mapping. And then we will progress through today's presentation to more complex models. I do not have any financial relationships to disclose related to this presentation over the past 12 months. And our objectives today are to review 3 types of curriculum mapping approaches, and when you leave, you should be able to explain those. We'll talk about the advantages and limitations of various methodologies, and really benefits are relative to what your program needs are. Whether you're just starting up and have never done mapping, or whether you're more advanced and you're looking at moving to the revised CEEF criteria. And especially related to competencies, we're going to talk about the value of mapping the competencies. CEEF criteria 2.3.A in the current standards says programs have to provide identification of the means by which the program assures that all graduate professional public health degree students have fundamental competence in the areas of knowledge basic to public health. The sponsor of today's program, the Association of Accredited Public Health Programs, met with representatives of CEEF 2 days ago, and we were able to glean from them that all programs, whether starting, accredited, or looking for reaccreditation, are going to have to redo their curriculum mapping under the new revision. So we hope that our presentations today are relevant to what's coming in the future. Now, curriculum mapping simply is a graphic representation of a topic, an outcome, or competencies as they relate to your intended curriculum. And intended curriculum or intended learning outcomes are what we as faculty think we're conveying to the students and what they're going to get out of it. What the students receive can be explicitly presented in their syllabus or the learning management system, but the curriculum mapping helps show what we intend to provide for the students and what we hope that they will be getting out of the course of the program when they leave. So the 3 titles that we're using are, I'm going to say, more generic titles. If you are an instructional designer, or if you are very familiar with that literature in instructional design for curriculum, you may see these terms used differently. But for today, I will use them associated with a certain model that I'll describe in these slides. There are some best practices related to curriculum mapping. I think these are common sense and things you can keep in the back of your mind as you're visiting with your own curriculum committee and your program faculty. You do want to align the program competencies that you have selected or the program competencies that will be required in the revision. You want to align those with your institutional outcomes, because your program sits within an organization that also is assuring that the graduates are leaving that institution with certain competencies and abilities, and that is their imprimatur on their students. The program should select meaningful data points in their mapping to inform them. Curriculum mapping should not be used for performance appraisals of faculty, or even of the students necessarily, but it should be for reflection and for continuous improvement. And then the key to our mapping models is going to be around course objectives. And those are what we explicitly communicate to our students about what they are learning. So the first model we're going to talk about is the topical map, and our curriculum committee and other members of Des Moines University went to a seminar presented by the Higher Learning Commission just to familiarize ourselves with some of these models. And topical maps present an order of course sequence, maybe showing from top to bottom in a map where prerequisites come in, and then as you advance into the complexity and higher level competencies, how they will move down the order. And you can also represent learning outcomes in this topical map. So let me show you a high level diagram of this. The topical curriculum map in this diagram has across the top row competency domains. Now you could substitute specific competencies there if you wish, but for purposes of this illustration, we're looking at the bigger picture, the higher level view. And then down the far left-hand column, you can see some course titles or descriptions. At the top, basic statistics, then epidemiology, occupational and environmental health, and then a culminating experience in the capstone. Again, just for purposes of illustration. A way you might use this type of a map, and if you want to just watch and listen, this handout is uploaded into the program handout, so you'll see all the detail, and after we're done I'll also include the notes that go with the slides. You can see that the black X is what the faculty teaching the course said that they were intending to cover, the competency domains. And then, through an audit of the curriculum committee with our program staff, the red X represents what was communicated in the syllabus. And so there can be kind of implicit communication that the faculty thinks they're giving to the students, and explicit, which is what is written in the learning management system and in the syllabus of the course. And so in this illustration, you can see for basic statistics, the instructor is covering return on investment for public health programs, and so they have indicated financial planning. Yet, in the review of the syllabus, we did not find that, so there is not a red X there. And so we provide some other comments here. In epidemiology, the instructor believes they're talking about population health related to various cultures, and they have indicated that that's covered in the domains. And when we review the syllabus, that's not explicitly stated. So going through this chart, you can see how it might be used. And it's very educational for faculty, especially new faculty, and it helps start the conversation. The next competency map we'll talk about is outcome-based curriculum mapping. And so we'll have a similar matrix, but instead of using X's, we're going to put in those little squares introductory meaning. This is the level of performance of the student. So outcomes is really, what is the student exhibiting from that instruction? Reinforcement is a higher level of performance by the student, and integration and demonstration is for more of the field experiences and some courses that allow the students to actually exhibit those competencies independently or with very little coaching or supervision. And this is a map of intended curriculum. So again, introductory, the students are performing a competency at an rudimentary level, let's say. Reinforcement, they may need more coaching, but you would expect them to be improving. And this is what the map looks like. So we've used some different colors here because the color coding can represent tiers in your course at Des Moines University. Tier 1 is our foundational information. Tier 2 requires prerequisites from Tier 1. Tier 3, we're getting into it more advanced courses, and then an internship, for example, would be in Tier 4. We have our capstone and internship. So we go from a lavender color to a light blue to the goldenrod to a royal blue. We've put in the IRDI codes. Ideally, you're looking that your introductory material precedes reinforcement or demonstration and integration. So this might be what your curriculum looks like finally after you've worked on it, but the first time you map it, at least we found that at Des Moines University, the I's and the R's might have been reversed at different times. We may not have had prerequisites necessarily in the right order. So as we looked at the domains across the top and the order of the map, we were able to get a visual depiction of where we might want to make some changes. And we did that together as a faculty. Now I'm going to move into competency-based curriculum mapping. And this is very much learner-centered. As faculty, we like to think we know what we're giving them and we know what's right, and we tend to be a little teaching-centered, maybe not intentionally. So this type of curriculum map really helps us focus on our course objective, assessing the students, and having that link to competency. So here is a high-level diagram of what this looks like, and the arrows can be bidirectional, so university-wide learning outcomes at the top and program competencies are mapped to our course objectives in the center. Our assessments are linked from course objectives to our strategies of assessment, but they also feed back into the system as we look at the performance on assessments and how we might want to change those course objectives. This is what it really looks like in real life, and we don't expect you to read that, but you'll get the slides in the handout. And the link to the CMAP tools is something from the Florida Institute of Health Management. And these are free, they're open access, you can download them, you can configure your map however you want. So let's just break it down. Here are the five university-wide learning outcomes at Des Moines University, including at the top, value the human experience with sensitivity to individual and cultural differences. And then an additional sixth objective is interprofessional education, which we are really trying to increase. In this particular slide, you can see not all of the five university learning outcomes are mapped, but three of them are. At the bottom of the high-level slide, you saw the MPH competencies. These were selected from the Council on Linkages 2014 version. We are using Tier 2 in our model, and the faculty member picks out specific objectives that they intend for the students to be acquiring through this course. These are mapped then to course learning objectives. The course objectives in this particular course on global health, there are four objectives. The left-hand side, those arrows are coming from university objective or outcomes and competencies, and then to the right, they're moving towards the assessment strategies. And for each of those course objectives, there's one-on-one alignment, and the assessments then are graded by rubrics. Biggs and Tang have written extensively about intended learning outcomes and constructive alignment of your curriculum, and you can find these resources everywhere, and I recommend them to you. But when we design a course, we're doing a front-end analysis. These arrows are moving from left to right. We know what competencies we need to achieve. CEF in this next version of the revised criteria is going to have specific competencies for all programs, regardless of the degree granted. We map those to our course objectives. Those are explicitly communicated to students in their syllabus. And then we have assessments. And we can produce reports on student performance at the end of a course. The back-end analysis is after the course has been delivered and looking at the performance on assessments, how they map back to your objectives, and then relationship to competencies. And I think doing a double check and reflection on whether you still have alignment after the students have completed your course. Now, our CMAP is integrated into our learning management system, which happens to be D2L. I am not endorsing that, but I'm just showing you that by integrating the CMAP tools with the learning management system, we can produce program-wide reports, about all of the curriculum. On the left-hand row, you can see there's a list of courses. It's difficult on the slide, but your handout will show this to you. Across the top, we have our domains. The far right-hand column shows the number of times the competency domain has been addressed. And at the bottom, you can also have a total of how many times it has been addressed. One is for a total of the course, if it's horizontal. One is the total in the entire curriculum at the bottom. So to summarize, the benefit of curriculum mapping is for assisting a program with strategic planning, continuous improvement, faculty development, peer review, and the assurance that the basic competencies are being achieved by our graduates. I also think another way that this can be used is by bringing in your community partners, employers, and showing them how you have structured your intended curriculum, and does that meet their workforce needs, or how can we meet their workforce needs? I think that's a level that we haven't taken it to, but we intend on working on that area, and this would be a good application. So in the remaining slides, you're going to see some references and some links. Calhoun is a 2008 reference, but it is still very valuable in terms of presenting the big picture of the value of curriculum mapping. I really recommend everyone look at Southern Connecticut for their references, their templates, and if you prefer not to have the diagram with the arrows and a graphic, you can have a matrix, and it can be as detailed as you want with a course audit, and so I highly recommend that. Look forward to your questions later on today, or please feel free to contact me anytime. Thank you.